If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him and will come to him and will make our abode in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the 1700s, in Tongking, which is now modern-day Vietnam, missionaries had arrived in that area and had preached and started to spread the faith. Yet, as it was the case oftentimes in pagan countries, those who embraced the faith soon found themselves to be persecuted by those who did not want to let go of the old ways. In fact, in East Asia, oftentimes that persecution was most cruel and in order to frighten many from listening to the arguments of the missionaries. But there were still those who did embrace the faith, and many who rose up to be truly courageous in the face of that persecution. One such story is of a man named Michael Mee. Michael had listened to the preaching of the missionary priests and had been converted to Catholicism along with other members of his family. And as was necessary, in order for them to obtain the sacraments, their family would welcome the priest into their home secretly. They would bring him in incognito, and they would shelter him there, hide him, and they would have secret mass offered so that they could receive the sacraments, at least on occasion. Well, somehow it became known that this was happening at their home. And so Michael, as well as his father-in-law, Anthony, they one day found themselves arrested and being tried and prosecuted for hiding that priest who said the Mass. The priest, as well, was rounded up and likewise faced the same fate. They were brought before a judge, but, as was often the case, a trial was not coming. Merely the accusations were made and the condemnation and sentence was issued. They were to be tortured and they were to be put to death. As they went forth from the judge, they came to the place of their suffering. And in order to invoke fear in them, they took all of the implements in which they were going to use upon them to make them suffer and, what was their hope, renounce their faith. They laid them out for them to see before them. As Michael looked on, he heard his father-in-law beside him, Anthony, begin to shudder and to worry. He turned to the older man, and he began to encourage him. He said, "Fear not, Father. Remember the eternal rewards which await us for suffering for a few fleeting moments in time." These words, they were an encouragement to his father-in-law, but he could see it in his face that still it was a great struggle to stare at what awaited him there before. Michael was taken first, and he was brought out to the punishers, and for his part, he was beaten and he was scourged and tortured in various ways, till in the end, he was, as it were, covered in wounds from head to toe, and that all was bloody and bruised. Finished with that portion of the punishment, they put him back in the line and they turned to Anthony. But, to their surprise, Michael walked forward back out of the line towards the executioner, and willingly laid himself down on the spot of torture again. The judge questioned him what he was doing. And Michael looked up to the judge and he said to him, "Please, have pity on my father-in-law. He is an old and feeble man. I offer myself to suffer in his stead." The judge granted his petition. And The round of torture was repeated upon Michael again. He willingly took it on, and he did not even utter a groan or a cry of pain whatsoever. All was offered as sacrifice. Afterwards, with the torture being done, they were led to the place of execution where they were to be beheaded. And arriving at the gallows, the executioner, seeing Michael walk up the steps, turned to him and said, "Give me some money. If you make a simple offering to me in this way, I promise you that I will make your execution swift. I will take your head off with one swipe, and all will be over." Michael looked at the executioner, and he told him, "I don't care if you do by execution in 100 swings, just so long as in the end you separate my head from its shoulders. As for the money, I prefer that this instead goes to the poor rather than to spare my suffering." And with that, without any bidding, he lay himself down with his head on the block and bravely and happily went on to his reward. The example that he provided, not only by his willingness to suffer again in the stead of his father-in-law, but also his courage in the face of death and willingness to die without any hesitation, this encouraged and steeled Anthony, who quickly followed up the steps after Michael and bravely gave his life as well for our faith. The other day, I was contacted by a young man, one of the confirmants, at St. Gertrude the Great, and he had a question for me. He told me that he was having second thoughts about whether he should be confirmed or not. I found this a little bit peculiar because he wasn't one who wasn't certain of the truth of our faith. But rather, he explained it to me. He said, "Father, I'm worried if I should be confirmed because I'm not sure I have the sufficient strength to suffer or to die for our Lord. Isn't that what we are called to be when we are made soldiers of Christ? I don't know if I am qualified, if I am ready to promise to be that soldier." I told him that what he was doing was backwards. He misunderstood the purpose of that sacrament. I said that you are willing to be the soldier of Christ. You just do not know if you have the strength. Well, I'm here to tell you, none of us, in our own capability, have that strength. None of us are capable of being martyrs and suffering and dying in the way that we have seen in the lives of the saints of our own accord. These things are beyond us. These are supernatural actions. God alone is one who decides and calls certain individuals to give their lives for the faith. But he calls all to suffer. But in every way, he knows the limit of the man. And he knows that that limit is what is based with both his strength in cooperation with God's strength given to him. You see that in confirmation, we are not saying that we are able to give our lives at this moment in time. But rather, we are saying we are willing to be at the disposal of our Lord. And that we entrust ourselves to the grace that we know that He will give us if He desires us to sacrifice, to suffer, or to even die for Him. And it is that strength that we will find the ability to endure whatever may be, even if it be martyrdom. Confirmation means that we are willing to accept those graces. We are willing to be given those gifts. We are willing to accept the responsibility that comes with them. But we understand that it is God who supplants the means to be able to do His will. The Holy Ghost is literally the love of God. The Holy Ghost is generated from the love of the Father as He has for the Son, and the Son as He has for the Father. And this divine love, it is given to each of us. It is given to us in a very special way by the sacrament of our baptism. The Holy Ghost dwells in us from that point forward by means of when we are in sanctifying grace. We reciprocate that love back. We do not generate it on our own, but rather we return it to Him because He has given it to us first. We do this by the means we have at our disposal. God's love, as we know, is infinite, but our ability to reflect it back to Him is infantile. But those efforts that we make, they are real. They are offerings. The love is a real love. These manifest themselves through our prayers, through our sacrifices, through the practice of virtue in our lives, and by the good reception of His sacraments. Every good and worthy Holy Communion, every sincere confession of our sins, and by the choosing of our own will to be His faithful soldiers by confirmation. In return for our small amount of reciprocation of love, God, the Holy Ghost, gives us the means for holiness. Because this is what He longs for above all else for us, that we may grow nearer and nearer to Him so that one day we may be joined to Him for all of eternity, that we may obtain eternal salvation. It is for this reason that He created us. He made us to be able to return that love back to Him, to share His love with us. And so, God, knowing our own feebleness, but out of His own goodness, He gives us the ability to do this. Man sinned, and he fell away from God. He turned away from all that was good. But he did so because he was weak and imperfect in that regard. And so God, in His infinite goodness, redeems mankind. He does so by offering Himself upon the cross. In the very same manner, He sees us and knows the very purpose of our existence is to love Him and to serve Him. But by our own abilities, this is a very weak and feeble action, one truly not worthy of Him, one truly impossible to be given in a way that is satisfactory. And so, much like we were incapable of redeeming ourselves after sin, seeing that we are incapable of sanctifying ourselves by our own will, God again comes. He again gives of Himself. He again allows it to be His love and His gift of grace and His gifts of the Holy Ghost to be the means in which we rise up above our simple fallen human nature and act in a supernatural way and find ourselves actually loving, actually serving, and actually growing in sanctity. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.